reading today from Romans and chapter 16, the very last chapter of this letter. It's a good reading to test my pronunciation. So, isn't this the perfect reading, you know, if you're asked to read, you know, just before the service? So, Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junias, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympas, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Phew, I think I did okay there. Great quiz question. Who wrote Romans? Verse 22. That's good. Trick question, isn't it? See, and from there we have the very clear understanding. Paul didn't necessarily write the letters with his own hand, but the picture we have of Paul is he may have been sitting, he may have been standing, he may have been pacing around, dictating a letter, and some poor scribe is there, scribbling it all down. No doubt they had some form of shorthands to get it all down as Paul writes his letters in the time that he has available to him. So this, in many ways, is a curious chapter to be focusing on and reflecting on, because it is filled with final greetings, both from Paul, as we saw, greet so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-on, but also Paul, at the end of this letter, sending greetings from his team, those who were with him. It's believed that he wrote Romans, put this together in Corinth, and he sends the letter with Phoebe to the church in Rome. Final greetings. Now, I'm going to put the entire text up. There it is. Can you see that? Okay, that is the text of Romans chapter 16. And all I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to take a few minutes just to reflect on some interesting aspects of this chapter. And particularly, I'm just going to today look up to verse 16 here. Okay, now I don't know if you can see the changes. Can you see the changes I've just made? They don't show up brilliantly. But what I've done is I've highlighted all the men in blue and all the women in red. Now, why do I do that? There's all the women. Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Junia. I think in our reading I had Junias, but Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Julia, and there were sisters, various sisters mentioned. Now, why do I highlight that as the first thing here? It is striking that over a third of those who are mentioned receiving greetings from Paul are women. Now, we sometimes think that Paul is anti-women, that Paul gives women a hard time. We sometimes, and we've probably said it ourselves from time to time, we have acted as if the Bible has something against women, that women are somehow lesser than men, that men should take on leadership roles and women should take a lesser place, and so on. But what these series of greetings and the associated notes with these greetings to these women that are listed in this chapter is that women formed a significant part of Paul's ministry. We discover that women had leadership roles. Women are significant, and Paul's mission could not have taken place if it were not for the women. And so I want to say again, as we've said before, that we should never look down on one another. We should never look down on women, but we should encourage and bless and raise up all of everyone, particularly women, because within our culture generally, but within the culture of the church, we have so often denigrated, and I believe absolutely wrongly, we have denigrated women. And so that's the reason why I highlight women first. So just soak that in. If you're a woman and you have gifts and abilities, then you should be using those gifts and abilities. If you're a leader, then you should be leading. If you're a servant, then you should be serving. If you have other gifts, then you should be using those gifts in whatever way you can, and should never, ever allow somebody else to put you down or say you shouldn't be doing this, that, or the other. And I think the way in which Paul so openly greets and commends all these women demonstrates that for Paul, women are significant as the men. So that's the first thing I'm highlighting on our page today. All the women, I'm sorry, they don't come, they're very small anyway. All the writing's very small, but I just wanted to highlight that because it is striking in this chapter. The next thing I want to highlight. Okay, right up there, that first paragraph, verses 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Now, I've just mentioned about women and the significance of the number of women that we find in this chapter. And who is the first person who is mentioned in the list? but a woman. Phoebe, we are told, is a servant of the church. She's considered a deacon. Now we know in Acts chapter 6, there was controversy in the church. And there was, every day there was distribution of food to widows, people who had very little. But then there were some of the widows who came to the apostles and said, do you know, we're not being treated as well as these other widows. It's not been organized very well. And so what the apostles did, they called the church together, they called the believers together and said, okay, choose from among yourselves seven. And at the time it was seven men. And they will be deacons. They will be servants. They will serve you and make sure everybody receives everything that they need. And then there is a list of those seven who are chosen. And we recognize as we go through the story of Acts, there are a couple of those who stand out. Philip and Stephen, for example. They stand out as significant men of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, longing to serve, willing to lay down their life to serve God. And Paul refers to Phoebe as a servant, a deacon, exactly the same as those first servants. And we have here in Phoebe a woman of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, willing to serve in whatever way she can. And there is no difference, and we cannot see any difference, and we shouldn't regard it any differently than all the great deacons, servants of the Acts of the Apostle. And Paul makes note, the very first person he mentions is Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. And then says, I ask you to receive her. Why? Because as far as we understand, he is sending the letter of Romans that we have here. He is sending the letter with her. He is entrusting her with this great responsibility to take this letter, this important letter, to the church in Rome. And he says, give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people. I must confess, I don't think it does justice to Phoebe's role. It simply says she has been a great help to many people. She's been a benefactor to many people. And I think the real sense of what is said here is we could not have done what we have done if it were not for Phoebe. Our path wouldn't have been as smooth as it has been if it wasn't for Phoebe. We wouldn't have had the support we have had if it hadn't been for Phoebe. It just wouldn't have happened without this woman. And that's what this means. She's been a great help to many people, including me. And Paul is saying, it wouldn't have happened without this woman. And so Paul trusts her deeply. Phoebe, servant, a great help, a benefactor, somebody the mission wouldn't have happened without, and a leader over the church. So I highlight that for us today. Next, highlights. Let's move that out of the way. Down here. Verse 7. Can't see it. Look in your Bibles. Greet Andronicus and Junias, my relatives who've been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Now, Andronicus and Junias, outstanding among the apostles. We have here a man and a woman, possibly married, presumably married. We don't know whether they were, but they come here as a couple. My relatives, my blood relatives, Jews like me, they've been in prison with me, so we know that Andronicus and Junias, they have served even to the possibility of giving up their life for Christ. They have been imprisoned for the gospel. They're outstanding among the apostles. Now, some would say, well, women can't be apostles. You know, there are the 12 apostles, and then there's Paul. What does Paul say? These two are outstanding among the apostles. Now, some scholars like to play with things. Some scholars don't like the idea that a woman has been named as an apostle. And so they fiddle with this and make Junias, a man. But that's not what the text actually says. It is a woman who's mentioned here. And so we have a couple who are serving as apostles. Now we mention Phoebe as a deacon. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Servant of the church. Here we have Andronicus and Junia, apostles. Now the Lord Jesus set aside the apostles. What were the apostles? The apostles were the witnesses of the teaching, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It was upon them the responsibility of the apostles to take what they had witnessed, what they had heard, what they'd received from Jesus, of his teaching, his life, his death, and particularly his resurrection. And to take that and tell others the good news about Jesus. Of course, one of those original 12 was Judas. And he left. And do you remember the name of the apostle who took his place? Matthias. Interestingly, we have Matthias as the chosen replacement for Judas, and then we never hear about him again. So we don't know what he did. But he was chosen. Why was he chosen? Well, he was up for being chosen because he had witnessed the resurrection. And then the Apostle Paul, he considered himself as one of the apostles because he had encountered the risen Christ. He'd encountered the risen Christ, and we have that in Acts chapter 9, but then the whole of Romans is built upon that foundation that he had encountered the risen Christ and his life had been completely transformed. But clearly there are others who are apostles, witnesses to the resurrection, who are given that responsibility to go out and tell others, Jesus is alive. God has raised Jesus from the dead. The empire and the powers that be put him to death. But there is a greater power, the power of the love of the Father, raising his son from death. And they are given that responsibility. And here, Andronicus and Junia are outstanding among the apostles. So they're not the only apostles. There are other apostles as well. But we have a man and a woman who are outstanding among the apostles. Okay, next thing to highlight. Let's see where we go. Okay, I'm highlighting a whole series of things here. So, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Verse 6, greet Mary, who worked very hard. Verse 9, greet Urbanas, our fellow worker. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Aren't they wonderful names? Those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. And so we have this list of workers who have worked hard for the sake of the gospel. And the sense here is they have put their back into it. They've put their back into it. They've made an effort. They've sweated over it. They've done whatever is necessary. And that simply means they have taken their gifts. They've taken their abilities. And they said, how can I use these gifts and these abilities? They have seen what has been needed. And they have sought to step up and fulfill the need. And we have Paul so grateful for those who work hard. And you know, I reflect on this list of workers and think, how many of them, and no doubt there'd be many more than these, how many of these workers went along their lives working hard for the sake of the gospel. And day by day thought, does anybody notice what I'm doing? Does anybody notice? And that's true, isn't it? So often we can work hard for others. We can put our back into it. I mean, go to bed at night thinking, I've done a good day of work, helping and serving and blessing. But then sometimes there's that feeling that creeps in, that thought, does anybody notice what I do? And the Apostle Paul wants to encourage them, and he highlights here the workers. Priscilla, Aquila, Mary, Urbanus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis. Now Priscilla and Aquila, fellow workers, Acts chapter 18, we have reference to Priscilla and Aquila, and we know them very much as co-workers with Paul. They were established in the gospel. They are teachers within the church. They are trustworthy. They have responsibility for passing on the good news about Jesus in a faithful form, one that can be trusted. And it might be for us that we work and sometimes wonder, are we noticed? And maybe the rest of us need to say, well done, really appreciate what you do. So, fellow workers, let's see what I've got next. Okay, verse 10. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Tested and approved in Christ. We've just had the list of fellow workers. Here we have somebody who we're told has been through the mill. You know that expression? They've really been through it. This expression that Paul uses, tested and approved in Christ. So in Christ, he has stood for the gospel. He's been brave and courageous. We can discern that. And he's been tested. He's been put up against it. Maybe he has suffered physically for his faith. Maybe he also has been in prison for his faith. Maybe, like Stephen, he's been put up against a wall and stones have been thrown at him. Maybe he's been put into the arena and threatened with wild animals. Maybe all sorts of things. But that is the sense here. He has been tested and approved. He's been threatened. It may be quite likely that he's been challenged. Give up your faith. Give up your faith or you will die. Give up your faith or you will suffer. At one point in the early centuries of the church, the Christians were challenged that they must offer worship to the emperor or they will die. And of course, the early Christians said there is only one Lord and it's not the emperor. Everybody else regarded the emperor as the Lord. But the early Christians said, no, there is one Lord and he's the living Lord Jesus. And so it may be that Apelles, tested and approved, he is somebody who's been through the ringer, somebody who has been proved to be faithful to the gospel. And he just gets a mention. We don't hear about him anywhere else. And we begin to get this sense that behind Paul and with Paul, there are so many who have worked so hard and proved trustworthy and faithful in the gospel. So we have there Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. That's the next thing I highlight. Greet my verse 5 of it through. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was my first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. And there is Asia. We're not talking about China in the Far East. We're talking about Asia Minor. So what we know as Turkey today, just to the north end. What is it? Yes, the northeast end of the Mediterranean. We have there Asia. And I just think it's a lovely little touch to say, greet Epaphras. He was my first convert. My first convert in this whole area. The Apostle Paul has this deep understanding that he has been called by God to take the good news of Jesus out from the Jewish people to the Gentiles, to every people group who are not Jews. He believes this is the responsibility of the Jewish people, that they all should go out. And he is the one who has been called particularly to lead that move, to lead that mission. And so the Apostle Paul, as he goes into Asia Minor, again, we don't hear about Epaphroditus anywhere else. We don't know about him. But here he gets a mention. I think it's just such a lovely touch that he says, greet this one. He was my first. And it appears that Epaphroditus is still following Jesus. He didn't say yes and then fall by the wayside. The challenges were great for anybody who heard the gospel and responded positively. And here, Epaphroditus, the first convert to Christ in Asia Minor, and he's still going, he's still standing the test of time. Okay, just one more highlight. Okay, number of different things. Verse 5, greet also the church that meets at their house, Priscilla and Aquila. Then here, verse 10, greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. And then verse 11, greet those in the household of Narcissus, or in the Lord. Verse 14, and verse 15, it's assumed with this group of folk together that they are a household church. I wonder how we imagine church happens in Rome. They wouldn't have had meeting spaces like this. They would all have met in houses. Now, there are people who have done analysis on the names that are mentioned here. And they think a good number of the names are slave names. Slaves were not treated well in ancient Rome, by and large. And they would have lived together, little groups of them, in tenement blocks, buildings 3-4 stories high, tiny little rooms they would have shared together. And here we have Paul mentioning groups of folks, probably slaves, who lived together. And they've all come to Christ together. And there is the sense that in Rome there isn't just one church. And they all gather together. But they would have struggled to meet together. And so it's thought perhaps every evening their one meal of the day, and that's all they would have had, their one meal of the day, they would have gathered together in one of the households, many, many households across Rome. And they would have eaten that meal together. It's thought that most likely every evening as they ate together, they would have taken bread and they'd have broken the bread. Jesus said, this is my body that is given for you. And they would have shared bread together. And they'd have taken wine if they had it, but other liquid if they had that. This is my blood that is shed for you. And they would have reminded one another, we may be slaves, but we belong to the King of Kings. There may be wealthy people who welcome them into their homes. So slaves going tiptoeing into a wealthy person's home, but being treated as equals within the home. These are household churches. This is how the church in Rome and many other places gathered together. No sacred day for them. No Sabbath, no day set aside so that they could take time off work to meet together. But they had to find their own time, and they would have lived together and worshipped together in these very simple ways, most likely every evening as they ate together. And Paul sends his greetings to them. So what do we have? Got that up for some reason. I'll just click all these up. These are all the different things I've mentioned. Mentioned the women. significant, the number of women that are mentioned as with the Apostle Paul. Phoebe, servant, great help, clearly a leader over the church. We've got Andronicus and Junia, outstanding among the apostles. We have the fellow workers, these lists of women, fellow workers. Apelles, tested and approved. He's really been through it, but he's standing firm. Epaphroditus, that first convert in Asia Minor, and then the household churches. This is how they met together. And those are my reflections on this particular section of this chapter. And I realise it may not feel like a regular sermon, but I trust there's something there that perhaps has piqued our attention, perhaps has encouraged us. And we might identify ourselves with those who have been mentioned. And I trust we will know God's blessing as we reflect and talk more about it. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this passage. It feels as though this passage doesn't have doctrine or theology, but it lists people. People who have become disciples of Jesus, and they're following faithfully. They're working hard. They're using their gifts and their abilities. They're reflecting the light and love of Jesus where they are. And Father, we pray that you would help us to reflect further on what we've read, that we might be inspired to follow Jesus as they did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.